thank you for that. It's a joy to be here. My wife and I enjoy this church. There are some churches that we go to, we wonder what we're getting in for. And when we come here, we know what we're getting in for.
All right. If you would, turn to John chapter 4, and I'll be there in a few minutes. I appreciate the music here. Once again, we go to churches, and something you get, you wish you didn't. And, but here the music is always good.
Amen.
And we're thankful for that and appreciative of that. I told Kristen a few weeks ago that I could get her to give up teaching voice lessons. And that would be if she tried to teach me how to sing. She would quit. All right. But we appreciate that. Now, several of you have commented to us this morning. We appreciate that. Our son and his wife right now are at the airport in Hong Kong. They put this big clock up here. It doesn't really mean anything to me. You know what I'm saying? One of the deacons at Faith gave me this little cartoon. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, our time. That's 2 in the morning, Monday morning, Hong Kong time. And they will arrive in New York City sometime around 5:30 in the morning. All righty, so that's, if anybody wants us to give you a call when we find out they're home tomorrow, just let us know. We'll give you a holler at about 5:40 or so, all right, and stuff. But we do appreciate your concern and for praying. We appreciate you all's faithfulness to us, and we're thankful for that. It's as I've said before from this pulpit, it's just kind of weird. It's not kind of weird. It is weird in our society today. I mean, did you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd wear a mask going into the bank? I mean, who ever thought that? You know what I'm saying? They won't let you in without one. You know, and life is just crazy. But it's a great time to be alive. You say, preacher, what do you mean a great time to be alive? By the way, I've got one other thing. This morning, as we were leaving, I told Gina, I said, I'm forgetting something and I don't know what it is. Did that ever happen to you? That's some of you sit there like it never happened to you. All right, come on. All right. And my high blood pressure medicine leaves my mouth dry. And I always, if you've noticed, I have those big cough drops that I put in. A kid years ago asked me if I was chewing tobacco. All right. I chewed tobacco one time in my life. I did not grow up in a Christian family. And my great uncle, my uncle, and my dad, and this, I was like 9 or 10, so this was just a couple years ago. And they each cut a plug. And they cut me a plug. Because I asked, well, I mean, when your dad and your uncle and your great-uncle are doing, what's a boy supposed to do? Give me one too. So they did. And my great-uncle said, David, real men swallow the juice. So I chewed for about an hour and swallowed the juice, and I had enough. And then a couple of hours after that, just use your imagination. It was not pretty. I spent about the next 2 to 3 hours in the bathroom. And I have never had a desire for tobacco products since. Amen? All right. So, this morning I forgot my cough drop. That tobacco story just got in there. And so I'm chewing gum. And I don't like to chew gum when I preach. But we had gum. We didn't have a cough drop. Amen? So, that'll let you know what's going on. Pray that I remember one for tonight. All right? And, as we go. Now, John chapter 4, I want to preach to you this morning on the stages of faith. The stages of faith. Now, June and I, since 2018, we have lived by faith. And it's exciting. Sometimes it's nervous, okay? But it's exciting. And to see the Lord provide. Now, my father, who today he has serious dementia, but he has told my best friend, who's a preacher to me, he told us for decades, he said, the Lord takes care of his babies and his dummies. And then he always added, and you're too old to be one of his babies. All right? So, you know, and it is exciting to see what God can do. And our faith grows just like children and people grow. They develop. Or it doesn't develop. Do you understand what I mean? George Mueller was an English Baptist preacher back a couple hundred years ago that started orphanages. And at the peak of his orphanages, he had 2,000 orphans. Can you imagine feeding 2,000 kids? I mean, when I read some of his books, and I love reading them, I think of that. I had trouble keeping food in the house with 3 kids and their friends. I mean, when John was a teenager, he'd just go over the refrigerator and pick it up and shake it in. You know what I mean? And I cried when they would bring friends over to eat, you know. George Mueller fed 2,000 orphans. People would come to him and say, "Mr. Mueller, the Lord has laid on my heart to help you, to give you some money. What? How much do you need? What do you need?" His answer was, "Ask the Lord what He would have you to do, and that will meet one of our needs." That's a little different from modern Christian fundraising, is it not? George Mueller said that he asked the Lord for 3 things. That his kids, who had already gone through enough being orphans, for a nice bed for each of them, for nice clothing, and for good food. And he said God answered every one of those prayers. All the time. People would come to George Mueller and they would say, "What is the secret to your faith? How is your faith developed?" And he said this. He said, "Some men have chosen to exercise their muscles. I have chosen to exercise my faith. And my faith has grown as men's muscles have grown." And he said, "Anyone can do it." Anyone can do it. We read in the Bible many places where it talks about a believer needing to have faith in the Lord. And we know that we need to do that, do we not? So, this morning, as we read our text, I want you to think of the stages of faith. Okay? And we will begin in John, and let's begin in verse 46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And that's in John 2, by the way. "And there were a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went down and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him," unto the nobleman, "except he see signs and wonders, he will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the account of this story that we have. Lord, challenge each of us in our faith today. Help us to understand it. Help us to put it, our faith into practice. Help us to develop it as you would choose for us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we talk about faith, first of all, we need to understand that there's 3 different kinds of faith the Bible talks about. Number one is saving faith. That's where we come and we ask the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. Saving faith. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have saving faith. Number two is the faith that we're working on today. In a theology book, it will say something like sanctifying faith. But that is the faith for daily Christian living. That's you and I putting into practice what the Bible teaches us to. That is sanctifying faith. And then the third faith, and we see that in the book of Jude, verse 3, it's only one chapter, verse 3, where it talks about the faith once delivered to the saints, and that faith is this right here. It's our Bibles. Okay? So those are the three faiths. We're looking at the second one. Okay? What's going on in John chapter 4? Let's put this into context. Let's see what's going on. Well, in John 3, it was Jesus and Nicodemus. Okay? You remember that story? And you must be born again. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Those verses are in chapter 3. And that is Jesus and the religious. And then we come to chapter 4, it's a woman at the well, and that is Jesus and the unreligious. Here's a woman that was a Samaritan. First of all, we need to understand that the Samaritans were not accepted by the Jews, they were not accepted by the Gentiles. They were a half-breed of people, half Jew, half Gentile, and neither side liked them as a result of this. Both sides would avoid them, and Jesus went to them. You know, Jesus, the Bible tells us, has no respecter of persons. Amen. And neither should we be. Amen. Color, race, none of that should matter to us whatsoever. Okay? Now, Jesus went to the Samaritan woman. He met her at the well, and this was a very immoral woman. This is a woman that had lived with five different men. And by the way, the Bible is very clear on morality, regardless of what society says. God is very clear. Okay? Sexual union outside of marriage under any condition in any circumstance is wrong and sinful. Period. Maybe I didn't say that well enough. Let me say that again. Okay? Any physical union between two people before they're married is wrong. Outside of marriage, in there. Okay, some of you heard it that time. All right? It's wrong. Period. Okay? It's not the unpardonable sin. And Jesus deals with this woman, and she gets saved. And He sends her back into Samaria, into her town, to witness to the people. Look at verse 39. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified." So here's this woman on the back, and she witnessed to the people. And they knew who she was. Isn't the grace of God wonderful? Amen. The gospel changes everything in a person. When a person gets saved, they're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Now, then we get down to the part of the chapter where we read He was going back to Canaan, or excuse me, back to Galilee, and He did go to Canaan. And a nobleman came to meet Him. We don't know anything about this nobleman. We don't know for sure if he was Jew or Gentile. We don't know what country he was from, but we knew that he came to Jesus. And this man no doubt had heard of Jesus' ministry, because in verse 48, Jesus says, "Hey, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." And the guy said, "Sir, you got to come." This guy knew that Jesus was the answer. He knew that Jesus is the one that could take care of his child. How confident are we in the Word of God? How confident are we that God has a plan for us and God wants to use us? The Bible does teach us that, does it not? So, we need to act like we believe it. We will act on things that we believe. Okay? For example, if we like a certain restaurant, we will go there. We like the food, we like the price, we like the service, right? Amen? Okay? And there are some restaurants we won't go to for the same reason. My wife and I found one of those Monday morning. Okay? We won't go back there. All right? Won't tell you where it is because it's not far. Okay? No. All right? But you act on what you believe. Right? You like a certain kind of clothing. You go to the store that sells that kind of clothing. My favorite clothes, I'll tell you the line that they're from. It's from the line that says sale. All right? And you normally find them in clearance stores. Amen. That's my favorite line of quote. Now,
we act on what we believe. So we need to act like we believe the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to act like we believe that Jesus means what He says. And that He says what He means. And we need to accept that and respond on that. Amen? Okay? Now, throughout the New Testament, we often, and I mentioned this, we often find either Jesus saying it or out of the Gospels, other places, encouraging us in our faith. How is our faith? Be honest with yourself. How is it? Is it needy? The Bible tells us, Jesus said, if you have faith, you could remove a mountain. You removed any mountains lately? How's your faith? How is your faith? We need to put feet to our faith. This idea. Do we really believe what the Bible tells us? I mean, remember, the Bible's the Word of God. In John chapter 1, beginning there, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who was that speaking about? Jesus. The Bible is just like Jesus was here speaking to us. If Jesus was here physically speaking to us, would we be paying attention? I mean, would we be zeroed in? That's what the Word of God is.
Amen.
And that's how we need to respond to that. Do we have the faith that this nobleman possessed? Now, let's look at faith developing. We're going to see different things here. I have 3 points: faith developing, faith diseases, and faith discussing. Number one, faith developing. And we're going to look at the story of this nobleman. The realization stage. And we see that in verse 49. Sir, come down ere my child die. You know, when we're sick, it's one thing. When our children are sick, it's a whole other thing, is it not? That just ups the issue greatly. And this man said, sir, you got to come. My son is about, my child, we don't know for sure, my child is about to die. He has no hope but you. You have got to come. He pleads for Jesus to come. You know, oftentimes, and I've learned this through ministry, oftentimes believers, they will pray about something for a short time, and when it doesn't get answered, they'll give up on it. And they'll always use a pious excuse. That's just not the Lord's will. That George Mueller that I was telling you about, after he died, about 3 years later, someone that he was praying for got saved. He got saved at George Mueller's assistance was preaching and held the meeting, and that guy got saved. And when that man was introduced to the speaker, he said, I knew you were going to get saved. He said, how did you know that? He said, I prayed with George Mueller every day for years. And every day he prayed for you to get saved. George Mueller died, and the guy got saved later. I mean, do we pray like that? The Bible does tell us, if we were to go to Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, that's the last chapter of it, and that chapter begins with judging. You know, be careful how you judge, that's not the exact words, but it talks about judging. And then right after it goes into pray, and it talks about knocking, seeking, remember that? Okay? And it tells us to continue to knock, continue to seek, continue to come. We've got to keep at it. This is not something that, you know, we ask a little bit and it doesn't happen instantly. Now, we live in a fast-paced society. And I'll be honest, I really kind of enjoy that. I like things to happen. I hate being lazy and sitting around. I know you all would never get that out of me. And that I have no energy and all that kind of stuff. All right? I like to do things. I like things to happen. I'm one of these people
Well, never mind. All right. But sometimes God wants us to wait. Do you ever notice that? And I'm going to be honest, I'm not a real good waiter at times. Because I like things to happen. But sometimes God says, wait. Does He not? Does that mean quit? Does it? It means to wait. And while we're waiting, we need to be busy. Doing what we can. A week from Monday, we're supposed to go to South Texas. You've heard that before out of my mouth, haven't you? Alright? It's only been put off 3 times this year. Okay? If everything goes well, the cases are down, the people in the church are recovered, we're supposed to go a week from Monday, fly into San Antonio, and then drive the rest of the way down. We're supposed to wait. I don't like waiting. In fact, I've never met too many people that do. But sometimes waiting is as much of God's plan as action. Sometimes people don't move when they should. But sometimes we need to wait. And God has that in our program and in our plan. This guy pleads for Jesus to come. And Jesus doesn't even go with him. He sees his faith. And because of the nobleman's action, Jesus responded. Now, Jesus can heal any way, anywhere, anytime. And God works in God's way. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? But right here, he just speaks the word, go your way. Go your way, everything's fine. The realization stage, number 2, the relying stage. It's one thing to realize there's a need, it's another thing to take care of that need. Go thy way, thy son liveth. That's in verse 15. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And you know what? Look at verse 51. And as he was now going down, the guy took off. The end of verse 50, he said he went his way. The guy obeyed Jesus. He obeyed him. Do you ever get nervous about something you feel the Lord wants you to do? This guy came, got his prayer answered, and God said, go your way. And he did. The reliance stage. And at this point, he began to enjoy peace and quietness. You know, all of us are frustrated with what's going on in our society. Amen? Okay? This pandemic is serious. But what irritates the fire out of me is how it's just become political. You know what I mean? And that's frustrating and it's aggravating. Okay? But did Jesus know that would happen? Does any of that shock God? Did he know that was going to happen? And he has us here at this time in the midst of all of this stuff. Do you think there's a purpose for that? Is there? None of this is by accident. You know, I really enjoy the freedom that we had before all this started. But do you understand the gospel is thriving in China? It's thriving in China. Chairman Xi said that by 2050, under current growth, there will be more Christians than communists in China. I hope the man's a prophet. It's not thriving in the United States, land of the free and home of the brave. Why is that? We know the answer, we just don't want to voice it. And it's not dirty politicians. And it's not Hollywood. And it's not the pornographers and the adulterers and the drunks. It's not their fault. If my people, which are called by my name, that's what God said. Stages of faith. How is our faith growing? How is it developing? And then the results stage. The results stage. Look down at verse 53. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. Does God ever move on accident? Does he ever do things haphazardly? You ever done things on accident and haphazardly? Anybody ever do that? Just like all of us? More than we want to admit. God doesn't. God does not. And sometimes we wonder about the goodness of God to us. Is God good all the time? Is he? Even when there's a pandemic? Even when people don't know what to do? In my lifetime, there's never been a better time to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. This guy, when he saw God answer his prayer and take care of his son, he had peace. He had quietness in his soul. And the world is dying for that.
Amen.
And we can show them that. But we've got to develop it in our own life. Oh, what's going to happen? What if I get it? Well, then you're going to get it. And if you die, you're going to go be with Jesus. Isn't that terrible? I mean, if you're saved. Now, I'll be honest, I kind of like being around. June and I FaceTimed with our 9-year-old grandson who turned 9 yesterday. Not this Saturday, but a couple Saturdays back, we surprised our daughter that turned 40 because we didn't get to go to South Texas. If we had her, we couldn't have done that. God knows. He knows the beginning from the end.
Amen.
And he knows that he wants his people to be a witness. And people are running around wringing their hands. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. But I know who does. And I say that I trust him. So we need to act like we trust him. Is that not a sign of our faith? Amen? So, I guess what we need to do is quit listening to the news. Oh, it's terrible. The world's falling apart. What am I going to do? Hey, there's good news. There's toilet paper in the grocery stores. Now, June and I, when it was bad, it was like every time you're in the store, you looked. You know what I mean? Am I right? Am I wrong? And if you saw some, you bought some. We got a pack of 4. That stuff is worse than what they have in rest stops. I mean, it's terrible. But, hey, does the Lord take care of his babies and his dummies?
Amen.
Does he?
Amen.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. And by the way, my dad's name is Grover. That's Grover's theology. All right? If you wonder where that came from. We need to act like what we say we believe, we truly believe. Amen. Now, we don't need to be foolish. I mean, I'm not going to go to a COVID party. But I'm not going to sit around and wring my hands. Oh, what's going to happen? If I wake up with it tomorrow, I have it. And if I don't wake up with it, I want to be... Well, either way, I want to be faithful doing what I should. If I wake up with it tomorrow, guess what? We're not going to Texas. Yeah, all right. And all. Does God know what's best? Does he?
Yeah.
Now, here's faith developing. Let's take a look at faith diseases, which we don't see here. Number one is prayerlessness. In my outline, I have S's, that's supplication. Prayerlessness. I mean, how often do you pray? How? That's why I hate Young Nobles came out. How often do you pray? And I'm not talking about bless this bunch as we munch on our lunch. I'm talking about pray. I mean, do you pray? Is that scheduled in? You don't know what my schedule is. You don't know what's going on.
If you can't pray, how can
watch television.
Amen.
And we have a television. I hate to admit this, but June and I have watched more Hallmark movies in the last month than we have in our entire lifetime. There's no cussing, there's no immorality. I can't believe I'm doing a commercial for them. I can't wait for football to start. All right. But anyway, I mean, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. You know, we need to read our Bibles and we need to talk to God. Right? After a while, we're going to eat lunch. Right? Right? Anybody going to miss lunch? Not me either. All right. We do that because it's important and we like to do it. If reading our Bible was important and we like to do it, we'd do it. If praying was enjoyable and we understood what we were doing, we would do more of it. Amen?
Amen.
There's just certain people you like to talk to. Am I right or am I wrong? Some people you don't like to talk to and some you do. Do you like to talk to God? The real problem with why there's prayerlessness is that we really just don't like God. You know, we've got all kinds of pious excuses. People don't use that one. But the bottom line is we just don't like God. Hey, yesterday when it was time to talk to Andrew, our 9-year-old grandson, everything else came to a stop because it was Andrew time. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. If we felt that way about God, we'd operate the same way. It's one thing to talk to your kids, but your grandkids, that's something different. Amen? And those of you with grandchildren, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, we just stop. I mean, it's time. If we felt that way about God, we would make time. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When's the last time you prayed an hour? You can watch TV for an hour. You can social media for an hour. I couldn't. I mean, I like to read and go through June's thing and see, and I like to check our Training the Nation thing and all that periodically. But I can't imagine people sitting on that stuff all day. That would make me want to pull what little hair I have left out. I mean, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. And the next one I have is sight. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Do we really check with God on what He wants us to do? Most of us have our schedules down to where our schedule is our God and not God. Do we get up in the morning and ask God what we're supposed to do that day? And spend time with them. You say, "Preacher, sometimes I'm tired and I sleep in." Hey, yeah, I had to do physical work this week and it killed me. I had to paint the deck. I was up in all those stinking little spindles. Oh, that's driving me crazy. I can't wait to sell it and get in a condo where someone else does all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? My legs hurt being down and up and all that. But I'm the only person I like to hear whine, by the way. I mean, do we walk by faith or do we walk by sight? When it comes to missions conference, and you have Faith Promise Missions here, right? Right? Do you figure out your budget or do you ask God what He wants you to do? Do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? You say, "Preacher, that sounds crazy." It is. The world doesn't expect it at all. But it's evidenced by believers around the world. And not so much in American churches. Do we walk by faith? Do we walk by sight? Do we trust our feelings? Do you trust your feelings? I mean, every now and then my feelings are bad. Generally because I ate something I shouldn't. You know, this acid reflux, and there's some things I really dislike that are high acid, and my taste buds love it, and my stomach doesn't. is all I can say. I mean, do we really trust that feeling? And that third S is sense. So he said, what do you mean sense? S-E-N-S-E, not S-I-N-C-E. Do we explain away God's working as normal events? You know, it's a sad day when we get to the point where we take God's workings for granted. And when we look at things and we don't even see it as miraculous. We don't even see it as a blessing. We don't even see it that God is at work. And we can just explain it away. I've been praying, and you know this, for revival in our country. And I'm praying that there's no way it can be explained but by God and Him alone doing something. There's diseases to our faith. Just for example, there's diseases to a diet. Chocolate cake, chocolate chip cookies. In fact, I have a bag of chocolate chip cookies in the car. I had one on the way down so I'd have enough energy to preach. Amen. I can come up with excuses. There's diseases to our faith. And we need to be honest about our condition. Number three, faith being discussed. Ask yourself, when I say this, I don't mean for you to answer this out loud. I mean for you to answer this in your mind. Does your faith make you pray? I haven't looked at this clock for a while. Does your faith make you pray? If not, what do you expect God to do? You expect God to do something when you haven't been praying? When you haven't been asking Him? Where's your trust and confidence in the Lord? You know, if we trust people, it's evident. If we don't trust them, it's evident. I have a 3-year-old grandson that he was down in South Carolina. We saw him. The kid goes 1,000 miles an hour from the time he gets out of bed to the time he goes to bed. He is into everything. If there is something out that you're careful that it doesn't need to be knocked over, I don't trust him at all. I guarantee he's going to be in it. He is, and I love him, he's a case. But that's just the way it is. I mean, do we have confidence in God? Do we want to conform the Bible to our life, or do we want to conform our life to the Bible? What do we want to do? If we have confidence in God, we want to try and conform our lives to the Bible. Does your faith make you obedient? Jesus said to this guy, go thy way. The guy didn't say, wait a minute. Well, did you do anything? What's up? Are you sure? He went. The man went home. The man acted on God's word. Does your faith affect your home? How do those closest to you see your obedience? If you can, keep your finger here. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Last chapter in the book of Joshua. In that chapter, many people, they look at verse 15 as the big verse. And Joshua, as for me and my house, will serve the Lord. And that's a great verse. But to me, that's my favorite verse is verse 31 in the whole book. It says this. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. You say, why are you pointing this out? Your influence affects people. Joshua's influence affected Israel. Now, you may not affect the whole nation like he did. He affected the people close to him. You may not affect a lot of men and people. I say, man, I mean mankind. But he did. And what was it based on? These people saw what God could do. And they trusted God. Now, there's people that are going to look at your life. Let's go back to John 4. And they're going to determine some things about God by the way you act and the way you are. And what you do. Does your faith affect your home? Does it? If it doesn't, there's something wrong. It ought to affect your home and those close to you. How do we grow our faith? In Romans 17 and verse 10, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith grows in your relationship to the Word of God. Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. David said that. Now, David wasn't perfect. God's word will keep us from sin. Yeah. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the first part of the verse says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, think about that. But what does the word impossible mean? It means impossible. It means it can't be done. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How's your faith? It's easy to say, I've got faith in God when everything's good. Nobody in your household has the virus. Your job is in. You've got money in the bank. You've got groceries in the thing. You've got toilet paper in the pantry. It's easy to have faith in. Isn't God good? God's good when all that's gone. God is good when you don't have a thing. God is good when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. June and I have been fed by people that didn't have enough food to feed themselves and did without so we could eat. We didn't know that at the time. You want to be humble? Find out about that. Hey, how is your faith? If you're someone that's walking around wringing your hands, oh, what's going to happen? America's falling apart. Everybody's going to die. You don't have too good a faith. America is in a mess. I'll let you in on a secret. People are going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. God said that. It's going to happen. Sure is. And we need to be faithful. And if we are faithful, it's because our faith has allowed us to trust God. And we need to develop that faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your challenge on faith in the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for Your love to us. And God, we thank You for who You are, that You alone are God. And I pray that in the stillness of this moment, You will help us to be serious about who we are and how we're doing with our faith. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking at me, no one. Would there be someone who would raise their hand and say, Preacher, I've been challenged about my faith. The Lord is working on me. Here is my hand. Would there be anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord is challenging me by my faith. Would there be someone who would say, you know, Preacher, I've never had saving faith. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. But here is my hand. Pray for me. I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out. But Preacher, I want to be saved. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Would there be one? Anyone? Heavenly Father, we thank You for these that have responded this morning. And Lord, I don't know what need You're working on them about, but I pray, Lord, for spiritual victory in their lives. And I pray that You will help them and that their faith will grow and that they will see great things happen through You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.